Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome and thanks for listening. This segment of the show is brought to you by Holland Company CPAs and features Clark Langral, who's joining us from Forecast Strategic Advisors in Towson, Maryland. Clark, welcome to the show.
Hi there.
Hey, Clark, today we're going to talk about the ultimate event, and looking forward to that. You've been a 39-year veteran in the financial planning industry, and you work on business owner continuity planning, which is really an important issue that we talk about all the time. So if you would, give our listeners a sense of your background. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you. As I think most owners would acknowledge that usually when we do presentations, we'll ask by a raise of hands, except for getting married, loss of a loved one, birth of a child, or giving your daughter away at the altar, leaving their business usually is one of the five most significant emotional events. And then the next question is, would they agree or disagree that their business represents either the most significant, if not one of the most significant financial assets in their life? And usually an overwhelming majority of folks agree. So setting up a written strategy to follow over time to address what seems to be one of the most emotional and significantly financial events of their lives seems to be logical, yet when we query a business owner to share with us their written, not their mental, but their written strategy for stepping away from their business, they have difficulty because no such document exists. So we have embraced for well over a decade a process that we will take a business owner through that provides them a roadmap so that they can identify where they are, where they're going, and how they want to get there.
You're right. That is a huge event for most business owners, and I guess there have been a lot of studies done. I've seen one from Vistage International that said nearly three-quarters of business owners agree that it's a significant event, and yet so few of them have planned for something like that. Why do you think that is?
Well, I remember years ago we did a television show on Heartbeat of America, and Doug Llewellyn asked me that very same question, and I said, it is the curse of all business owners, and it's called round to it, as in, you know, that little piece of paper that's in a circle that mm-hmm. you write to it on, round to it. Everybody means to get around to it, but business owners, to answer your question, are so busy working in their business that they forget that they need to work on their business. And the reality is, absent working on their business can be the potential of either getting proper reward versus no reward when they ultimately step away from their business, because if they don't begin planning and have some written process to follow, usually they will have an event, and that event is never a positive event. It's usually a negative event. It's usually at the wrong end of the business life cycle, meaning toward the end of the business owner's working life cycle. And that event usually causes that owner to now be in a place they've never been before, as in they're reacting, they're not acting. And it's all due to the curse of round to it, or otherwise known as procrastination. And therefore, we think that if you can remove the procrastination and create a plan of action, it's statistically impossible to fail transitioning from your business simply because you're working on your business, knowing where you're going and how you want to get there. It's just a matter of time. And if you have time, you can solve a multitude of problems.
So it's one of those things, like a lot of things in life, where you want to focus on the positive, and they foresee this as kind of a negative event, and so they don't pay attention or take the time to do it. Although, by focusing on these, you actually can turn it into a potentially positive event and avoid what you say, you know, post-event reacting. So it's just one of those things, I guess, that business owners, they need somebody to pull them out of their day, like yourself, and say, let's spend some time on this. How much time does it take? How much time should they spend on this?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question, because depending upon the complexity of the business and the size of the business and the number of owners and the focus of the owner's logical market to sell to, whether it's internal or external buyers. There are no other such buyers. It's either people inside, like family, employees, an ESOP, or external buyers, which are either financial or strategic in nature. Usually an owner will know by instinct where the more likely buyers are. The reality is that you don't just wake up one morning and decide to put your company to market. It's a process. And anyone that has sold a business that goes particularly to a third party will tell you that the due diligence process alone on the part of the buyer is usually no less than 6 months. And so even if today you decided that it was time to put your company to market, whether it's selling internally or externally, you are no less than 12 months away from, more likely than not, a successful transition. Therefore, how much time do you need to prepare in order to be able to then commit that 1 year for the transitioning process? And that's where the exit planning or succession planning phenomena can be the difference between risks and rewards. And that process, we would hope that the owner is a minimum of 3 years away from stepping away, preferably 5 to 10. I say that simply because many times the owner needs to build more value in the business in order to get the proper number when they monetize and tax impact that company. So if you don't have enough time on your side, that can be alone the difference between regrets and rewards. So to answer your question, minimum 3, preferably 5 to 10 years out from the actual event
to start the planning process. And that's a great tip. We just had an attorney on who was talking about the fact that he sells a lot of businesses, but 9 out of 10 people that he talks to are disappointed and dejected when they find out what their business is worth. And I think that from what I've seen, I'd love your comment on this, but in the private equity world, I've talked to people in the M&A world where people actually sell businesses, and people like attorneys and accountants, they say that 9 out of 10 people that initially intend to sell a business don't sell it right away because it's not ready for sale.
That's correct. And I would wholeheartedly go along with those stats. I would embellish that by saying that PricewaterhouseCoopers just did a study that they released of transactions of closely held businesses in 2012. 85% interviewed when asked if they could do it differently, would they? And 85% said yes.
Wow.
That's spooky, meaning that, gee whiz, I'm no longer in my business, but if I had to do it all over again, I'd do it differently. And that's a polite word of by saying I didn't really get the full value that I wanted, or I had to take less in order to be able to step away, but I had no option.
Well, once you go through that, even just the due diligence process of winding down and selling a business, you realize there are a lot of things you probably should have kept better track of in better order, so that you looked and felt kind of like what we're seeing out there today, these franchises that are popping up everywhere. When someone goes to buy a franchise operation, the first thing they get is this big binder of the operations manual, right? And so why don't more of the solo practitioners or the solo businesses out there operate like they're going to be a franchise type of an operation and build that out?
Well, creatures of habit. You know, when you build your business organically. You sort of build the playbook, the three-ring binder that the franchisor would give a franchisee, which is a culmination of many years of experience codified in how to run the business. But most owners that are entrepreneurs did it the old-fashioned way. They woke up one morning and had to go out and kill the saber-toothed tiger. So the game plan was kill the saber-toothed tiger, so to speak. And you're absolutely correct that one of the things that a buyer looks for is the organizational documents and how well lubricated the company is. Does it run efficiently? Does it have a proper employee benefit structure? And the reason why I say all that is many times this is either an external buyer that is looking to have this as a new value add, or it's bolted on to an existing business that needs this new value add to be more profitable and extend more services and value to the customer base. So you've got to have time. Otherwise, 9 times out of 10, you'll be not as happy as you could be had you just planned and committed to get more organized.
Time and experience. Let's talk about the CEPA designation and what it is and what it means to a business owner, because I know there's a lot of exit planning professionals now where none existed, it seems like, several years ago. Now it's become a real profession. So what does that mean? What is a CEPA and what does it mean to a business owner?
Yeah, I'm glad you bring this up. And let me just use a real quick analogy for the listeners. Back in the mid-70s, and ask anybody that was in financial services back then, there was no such thing as a financial planner. And for the first time in the history of this country, we had two income households. Baby boomers represented the first time that there would be two incomes, and thus the complexities mandated a new look at your overall financial needs, thus the birth of financial planning. And everybody magically overnight embraced it because it was a discipline, but no one really was credentialed. And it took the International Association of Financial Planners approximately 5 years before they had to educate the financial media to make the consumer aware of the fact that beware of those bearing false gifts. Just because somebody says they are a financial planner, unless they are credentialed as such, the more likely than not is that they are doing a component of financial planning and that they really don't do comprehensive financial planning. Well, you can make mistakes in your life in your financial plan and make up by changing the plan. Exiting your business is a single and one-time event, and I often say you don't get a mulligan. For those that play golf, you don't get a mulligan when you leave your business. There is no such thing as a redo. Mm-hmm. And so the credential certified exit planning advisor that is given by the Exit Planning Institute provides at least the would-be user of the service of an exit planner, such as myself, the confidence that at least we have and know all of the touch points that need to be in a plan, and we also know how to prepare a plan rather than a component of the plan, which could be legal, could be accounting, could be corporate governance, could be benefits, could be compensation, it could be valuation, it could be a multitude of buy-sell agreements. The point is that rather than doing component, comprehensive exit planning is the only way that a business owner really understands where they are, where they're going, and how they want to get there. And therefore, the credentialing body of the Exit Planning Institute that gives this designation at least should give that business owner some confidence that there's someone out there that knows of what they speak and not knows of only a component of what they speak.
Makes a lot of sense. So if I were to put that into a sports analogy, you said there's no mulligans, first of all. But let's take a baseball team. A baseball team needs a coach who's not the coach is basically going to instruct the team what, you know, you see the coach over in the stands, right? He's always got a signal going to the catcher and telling, you know, sending out the signals from off the field. And somebody has to organize this team of very complex advisors so that they, the business owner doesn't get overwhelmed. And so that there's a run order of the strategies, a playbook that is run the right play at the right time. Would you say that's a fair analogy as to what the exit planning professional does?
Yeah, you must have watched my TV show that I did years ago. We use the analogy, picture the exit planner as the coach of the baseball team. I think we used football, but let's use baseball. That manager's responsibility is to do one and one thing only, win baseball games, to keep the owner of the baseball team happy. And, of course, the fans coming back. So winning is what it's all about. And yet they deploy strategies and put talent on the field. Well, an exit planner can be viewed very much as the baseball coach. No, we're not the home run hitter. No, we're not the pitcher. No, we're not the right fielder. Those are specific talents that you need to put on the field at the appropriate time to win the game, following the strategies in the playbook to keep the owner of the team happy and the fans coming back. Sounds typically logical, but the way that most business owners approach exit planning is almost like, I own the baseball team, and I'm just going to put guys out on the field and hope that they know what they're doing. And the idea is, in their own right, they know what they're doing, but collectively, do they know when they have no playbook to follow? So it's got to start with someone that can build, and we often use the analogy, the blueprint, like an architect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can't build a building without blueprints. Funny thing, but how many architects build buildings? None. Why? Because the architect is a specified discipline that takes the vision between the ears of the property owner and puts them on paper, so that the trades, the disciplines, can ultimately bring that building out of the ground and make that vision come to reality. So, no, I don't practice law on purpose. No, I don't do formal evaluation. Those are the different trades that you bring in as you implement your plan or follow the blueprint to build the building, so to speak, in that analogy. So you're very right that what we do is very much like that baseball manager.
Great, great analogy. It's very clear, and it really helps, I think, our listeners to understand that they do need someone to organize this whole process, or else they're going to get pulled every which way by all the different advisors who really might be very technically adept and will be a necessary component of the team, but someone needs to organize the process. Now, we just have a minute or two left, Clark, but what's the best way for a business owner to be certain that they'll be prepared to transition from their business based on your 39 years of experience?
I think the primary focus should be understanding exactly where they are from an external perspective, meaning someone looking outside in at the business, to give them a true, impartial understanding of the present value of the business. It doesn't have to be a formal valuation, but a valuation we refer to as informal. And then understanding that, along with all the other financial footings that individual business owner may have as it relates to external assets that they have built over the years, whether it's a retirement benefit, personal property, real estate, etc., all those things are extremely important, because part of the exit planning process has to be sure that owner, upon transitioning from the business and after taxes, takes those proceeds, add it to their other financial footings, and will all of that sustain the lifestyle to which they've become accustomed? So if they don't do the early, where am I, phase of exit planning, it is impossible to ultimately end up at the destination that they want to go to, which is a successful exit so that they can live their life in style.
Excellent, succinct, well put, very clear, Clark. How do our listeners get in touch with you if they'd like to talk about their exit planning efforts?
Oh, thanks. They can certainly call us at our toll-free number, 800-583-1785, or they can certainly reach me directly at my email, Clark, C-L-A-R-K-E, at forecastadvisors.com. Forecast just like a weather forecast.
Well, listeners, you've heard some this is very clearly put by someone who's been doing this for a long time and can help you clarify your objectives and work towards your successful exit. So give Clark a call, check out his website, and find out. There's a lot of white papers and a lot of reports on his website. So please get in touch. And Clark, thanks very much for joining us today. I hope we can talk again sometime and maybe go a little deeper into some of these topics.
Be happy to help. Thank you very much.
I've been talking with Clark Lingrell of Forecast Strategy Advisors. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back, so please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.